Hello and welcome to the second episode of the T-Boom podcast. My name's Pete, I like pictures, and you can find mine, of course, on my blog, tboom.tumblr.com, tboom.tumblr.com, and you can find all the other important links, of course, on the navigation of my blog, like my YouTube channel with videos about photography, with videos about working with Adobe Lightroom, and of course you can also find me on Twitter, that's the word, that's how to pronounce it, Vortex of Our Mind, that is my Twitter handle, I hope it is, you can find the link in the description. Like always, the music for this episode is by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com. And it is licensed under a Creative Commons license 3.0, and the song is called Surf Shimmy. In this episode, I want to talk about two things, like last time, again, two things. I want to talk about kit lenses, whether they are... I don't think that I'm allowed to say what I really wanted to say, because that podcast is clean. I really had to check a checkbox to assure I won't use any bad words. So let me say it this way. Are kit lenses really that terribly bad as some people claim? And of course, I will also start my wheel of letters again. So tech terms and techniques, and I'm really curious. Which letter will show up today? Of course, I have no idea yet. And before I start, I want to say a big thank you to all of you who gave me this tremendous amount of feedback for the last episode. So, let's start with... The Rand. Okay, I have to admit that this is probably one of my biggest pet peeves if it comes to photography. Okay, I also have to admit that I have a lot of pet peeves if it comes to photography. So I think I can start every episode of this podcast with a rant about my pet peeves. What is this about? It is about bad lenses. And I had so many discussions in the past about this very subject. Okay, let me start differently. Like probably most people, I started photography with a little snapshot camera. I started again. In my teenage years, I shot a lot of analog photography, and then, well, other things became more important, right? As a teen. And then in my, I don't know when it was exactly, I bought this little snapshot camera. Well, younger generations probably started photography with their smartphones. I started with a snapshot camera. And I wasn't happy with the photos. And I said, well, it is the camera. Of course it is the camera, right? What can I expect from a little snapshot camera? And I simply stopped using it. And after some time, I got my first DSLR. I think I was already in my 30s. Or not. I don't know. And just like many DSLR beginners, I bought the camera with the kit lens. So it came in a bundle with a kit lens. Because cool thing about DSLRs, right? Interchangeable lenses, and you need a lens. Your camera body alone doesn't really help you for something. So, and my photos, they were not what I expected. And since I'm a person who believes other, more experienced people, and also a person who does a lot of research, I knew, well, actually I heard and read, that the kit lens is a terrible lens. That's what I read and heard everywhere. So I saved some money and bought a new lens. One that I knew, well, actually heard and read, right, was great. And my photos, miraculously, were not better than before. So I thought it's the camera. I bought some photo magazines and I read a lot of blog posts and stuff. And, well, everyone kind of agreed that the camera that I had was one of the best cameras in that price range. At that time, of course. And they showed test photos that were simply amazing. And I thought, yeah, it must be me, right? And guess what? Yes, it was me. The problem was, I expected my camera to know what I wanted to achieve. And so I expected my camera to do the work for me. But, well, see, how would my camera know what I want to do? It is a piece of metal, glass, and plastic. And some rubber coating that was peeling off after a couple of years of using it. So, what's the deal with kit lenses? It's very simple, just like every other lens. Kit lenses do have their good sides and their bad sides. And, well, spoiler alert, they are not as bad as many people claim. You can take decent photos, and even very good photos with them. It just depends on how you use them. On the positive side, they are universal lenses. Let's call that universal lenses. Most kit lenses have quite a range of focal lengths. So the classic 18-55mm, the one that I have, starts at 18mm, which goes to 55mm, which is quite wide angle on a full-frame camera. And, well, at 55, it is in a normal range. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I was talking about the focal lengths and what they mean in the last episode. And even if you use that camera, what is probably the case, like it was the case and it still is the case, like with me, if you use that camera on that lens on a crop camera, you have, well, 18mm on a crop camera is still pretty wide-ish. And 55 is even slightly telephoto-ish. So you have a wide-angle two telephoto lens with an 18-55 kit lens. So quite some variety of focal lengths available. So you can shoot almost all kinds of things with that. So from landscapes to interior shots, up to portraits. And it's also a great thing that you will start to learn which kind of, because you have that variety and you have that possibility, which of these focal lengths you use often. So, for example, I realized that I rarely use the kit lens at its full wide angle, but usually start at around 24-28mm. So that's what I realized after a couple of months of using it. So I bought a better lens. I will be talking about that a bit later. That starts at 28mm, which is sufficient for what I use my lenses most of the time. So, okay, but having said that, the kit lens is a very, very affordable lens. I don't know what the price, if you buy it new, I think it's about $100, $120, something like that. But it came with a bundle anyway with my camera. So, having that lens, comparatively affordable, well, very affordable, and it's also a stabilized lens, which is a very, very good thing. Of course, there are downsides, right? Kit lenses are not very fast, with fast meaning they don't let in a lot of light. So usually they start at a aperture of 3.5. So on the wide side, you can use an aperture of 3.5. If you zoom in, you only have 5.6 in most cases, which means, you do need a lot of light, or you have to push ISO pretty high or use very slow shutter speeds. The next thing is that the aperture is not constant. So you can use f3.5 throughout the whole range of focal lengths that this lens provides. As I said, 3.5 at the wide side and only 5.6 at the more narrow side of the focal length. So that's really not something that's so very cool, right? Another thing that is connected with the aperture, you don't get that really cool shallow depth of field that you have with better in big quotes lenses, right? So, and that's one of these things. Ooh, I have a cool camera, right? And I want to have that very beautiful shallow depth of field, but I don't have it. The next thing what people refer to when they tell you that kit lenses are terrible are quality issues. Picture quality issues, distortions, vignetting, chromatic aberrations, and so on and so on and so on. So summing that up, yes, kit lenses are universal lenses. They are cheap, they are stabilized, but the quality, yeah, people told me the quality is terrible. Why didn't you get a proper lens in the first place? Why? Simple. Because I had no idea about that. And the lens was cheap, right? And it came with the camera. And since I didn't know that you can take decent or even fantastic pictures with a kit lens, because that is what these people told me. After I got that lens, right? That's what they told me. You can't take great shots with that lens. So, I didn't know that. So I tried to learn how to do it. Like a bumblebee, which doesn't know that science says it can't fly. It does. So I tried to learn that. See, I won't claim that my photos are fantastic. Anything but. But I think they're decent, at least decent enough to show them. And please, take a look at the photos on my blog, tvoom.tumblr.com, by the way. No matter if you like them or not, can you spot the ones that were made with the cheap kit lens or with a lens that is 3.5 times more expensive than that? I can't. And I even took them. Okay, you might say now, well, if you can't take photos, right, then it doesn't matter which kind of lens you have. And I agree with that. But that just proves the point. I mean, if I don't know how to use my equipment, I can buy the most expensive lens and my photos won't be better. Granted, I probably can do different things with different lenses. Absolutely agreed with that. But that exactly is my point. If you start out with that cheap kit lens that is comparatively universal and you realize, okay, I need this focal length most of the time, but well, I would love to have my lens to be a bit faster, then you are a big, big step ahead. See, I'm trying to save some money for a better lens. And with better, meaning a lens that can do what I want. And the cool thing is now I know what I want. And I know I can't do that with the equipment I have. The problem, the big, big problem that that most of us have when we start out, we don't really know what we want. We don't really know what we need. And finding that out, that is also, at least that is how I see it, what photography is about. People can tell you a lot of stuff. People can tell you need this, you need that. Well, they don't know because they are not you. You can tell people, I want to do this, exactly this. What do I need to do that? That is a cool thing, but most people don't know. I didn't know. I bought that camera with that lens and I thought, well, I could take cool pictures with that. It's okay, let me take a step back. What about quality issues? Honestly, screw them. Distortions, vignetting, chromatic aberrations, that all can be reduced very, very good in almost any kind of editing software like Lightroom, like Photoshop. There are tons of pieces of software out there that can do that. And yes, sure, the pictures right out of camera maybe they are not too perfect straight out of camera concerning these issues, right? But A, you can remove these issues. You can reduce these issues. The next thing is, and I can guarantee you that, if you're starting out, you won't even see these problems or many of these problems. You will learn to see them over time. And seriously, why not shoot with a lens that will give you decent quality? And that's what these lenses do. And a lens that you can afford, then not shoot at all. And if the results please you, why the frick even bother? My camera doesn't know what I want. My camera is stupid. So it is me who has to learn how to use my tools to get what I want. And believe me one thing, in the process of finding out what definitely is not possible with a certain lens or with certain pieces of equipment, you will learn so many things that are possible with that lens, with that piece of equipment, that many doors in your creative process suddenly start to open. I learned to do a lot of things with my kit lens that I didn't think were possible. And people told me they are not possible. So let me end this rant with the exact same thing that I ended last episode's rant. Don't you ever let anyone tell you what not to do. Not in photography. So let's stay at the topic of lenses. Because that's the really cool thing about camera systems with interchangeable lenses, that every new lens will give us basically a new camera. So what to look at when getting a new lens? What are the important things to have in mind, to have in the back of our minds when we get a new lens? Well, of course, probably the first thing is the focal length. What focal length do we really need? If you start out like I did with the 18-55 kit lens, you have quite some variety. I mentioned that in my rant about the kit lenses. And you will probably realize which kind of focal lengths you use most. And you will realize, okay, like I did, maybe you will realize 55mm, that is not really a lot. So I wanted to have more telephoto. So that I can zoom in stronger. Let me address one thing. That is one of the biggest misconceptions that I come across very, very frequently. And I have to say that I was guilty of that myself. The confusion of zoom lenses and telephoto lenses. Telephoto lenses are not automatically zoom lenses. And zoom lenses are not automatically telephoto lenses. We have so-called prime lenses, which have one focal length. You cannot change that focal length, like very well known the 50mm or a 50mm lens. It has 50mm. The kit lens is a zoom lens because you can change the focal length, right? You can change it from 18mm to 55mm. A telephoto lens is simply a lens with a focal length of 70mm or longer. Usually, like typical telephoto lenses are lenses with 100mm, 200mm, 300mm focal length. So you can have a wide angle zoom lens, so a zoom lens that gives you a range of focal lengths that are in the wide angle range, everything up to about 35mm. So if you have, I don't know if that kind of lens exists, if you have a 12-35mm lens, that is a wide angle zoom lens. And if you have a, let's say, like I have 70-300mm lens, that is a telephoto zoom lens. And then there are lenses like the kit lens with 18-55mm. It is a wide angle to normal zoom lens. Telephoto lens is not equal to zoom lens. With that having said, what kind of focal length do you need? If you realize, I want to get closer, you probably want to improve on the focal length. So that's what I did. I started with my 18-55mm lens and I will be talking about that in a minute, a 50mm lens. The reasons are a bit different. They have nothing to do with the focal length. And I got my first telephoto lens was a 70-200mm lens because I wanted to have more zoom, right? I wanted to have more telephoto. So I had a variety of 18-200mm with these two lenses. But while I wasn't really happy with my 55-200. So I had my 18-55 and then I had my 55-200. So I was able to cover 18-200mm. That is quite a range, right? With two lenses. I wasn't happy with my 55-200mm lens. And I realized, okay, I don't use my kit lens at the full wide angle a lot. I usually used it at 24, 28 millimeter. And I realized, okay, I don't really use my telephoto lens at full 200 millimeter. The problem with my telephoto lens was, it was, or it still is, unstabilized. Shooting 200 millimeter, especially on a crop camera, which is about almost 300, it's more than 300 millimeter, would be, well, equals more than 300 millimeter on a full frame camera. Unstabilized, freehand, because I'm too lazy most of the time to use my tripod. And sometimes it's simply not possible to use a tripod, especially when shooting wildlife and stuff. I want to have the freedom to move around. So that wasn't really something. So I thought I want to have a lens that covers ideally everything from mild wide angle to, well, at least a bit of telephoto. And so I got my 28-135 stabilized lens that I'm very happy with, by the way, and that I use a lot. It's not the perfect lens, but it gives me decent results. So focal length is one of these things you might want to have in mind when getting a new lens. The next thing is the aperture, the maximum aperture, the smallest number. The kit lens has a maximum aperture of 3.5, which is not really that amazing because you need a lot of light. Okay, correction. It has a maximum aperture of 3.5 and 5.6. What does that mean? It means in the wide angle area, this lens provides a maximum aperture of 3.5. And if you're zoomed in, the maximum aperture is 5.6, which lets even less light in. So I wanted to improve on that. I wanted to have a faster lens, a lens that lets in more light. So that was the reason why I got my 50mm 1.8. And an aperture of 1.8 is amazing because it lets in a lot of light. So that is the maximum aperture. Of course, I can always close the aperture. The thing is though, that is a fixed lens. It is a prime lens. I can't change the aperture with that. But, well, there's a wonderful little thing. It's called the sneakers zoom. Just simply walk closer or walk further away to change the angle that you're capturing, right? So zooming in and out. And that is also something I learned a lot by that. Because before that, I was too lazy, right? I could go closer, right? No, I'll just zoom in. But with a fixed aperture, with a fixed focal length, you have to move. And by moving, you see way more. You realize the opportunities that you have, the shooting opportunities. You realize, I could do this, I could do that. So that will definitely improve your photography. The other great thing about a maximum aperture of 1.8 or 2.8 or something is you get a very, very shallow depth of field. So you can blur backgrounds. Perfect for portraits, for example. So that is also something you want to consider. If you need more light, you want to consider to get a lens with a maximum aperture. So everything 2.8 or smaller. Another thing to look at is the filter size or lens diameter. If you use filters on your lenses and you have a couple of filters and you have good filters, because good filters are really expensive, then you don't want to buy a new filter for every lens, right? So maybe if you get a new lens, check that it has the same filter size or lens diameter. Well, there are adapters, of course, but so that's something. I'm not a fan of filters. Some of them are cool. Like I use polarizing filters and I use ND filters, neutral density filters, but everything else is something. And I think that will be a rant in one of the future episodes. Another thing you might want to consider, and it's also something, especially with telephoto lenses or telezooms, does your camera have an image stabilization? Many of the more affordable lenses do not have any kind of image stabilization, which can be a pain in the behind sometimes. I realized that even with my 50mm 1.8 that it is unstabilized. There are a bit more expensive 50 millimeter lenses that do have an image stabilization. Mine doesn't. And sometimes it's a bit hard, especially when shooting low light. That's what I use it mainly for. It lets in a lot of light, so I use it in low light situations. I sometimes have to also use a very slow shutter speed, so very long exposure time. And then having an unstabilized lens, that can be the pain in the butt sometimes. But on the other hand, you learn. So what can you do about that? One of the things that really works is to set your camera to burst mode. So just take a couple of shots, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 shots, and one of them might be not blurry. That works quite well. I use that technique a lot. So I even managed to shoot at 1/5 of a second sometimes and have really crisp and clear and sharp photos. So that's something. Of course, it also depends on how you hold the camera. It depends on how steady your hands are in general or on that very day. I was drunk at that day, so maybe I was just slow, right? Relax. So I was able to shoot one with 1/5 of a second, which was really cool. And the photos turned out quite well, so it works. And a third thing, or a last thing that you want to take a look at, there are the more affordable lenses do have a very slow and sometimes even very loud autofocus. And the more expensive lenses, the more high quality lenses have a step motor or even an ultrasonic motor, which is very fast, very accurate, and also not loud at all. So these are the things you might probably want to consider. And I almost forgot that. The minimum focusing distance. That is very different with different lenses. So I have a 70-300 millimeter telephoto zoom, telezoom, which has a macro mode. And if I switch that, I can only switch the camera to macro mode between 200 and 300 millimeter. And then the minimum focusing distance shrinks, so I can get closer to the subject. That's especially if you want to shoot macros or something, really check how close you can get to the subject to still be able to focus on that subject. And that's one of these beautiful things with the kit lens. The kit lens has a comparatively small minimum focusing distance, especially when being in wide angle. You can take really cool shots with a kit lens. And that's something that I realized when I just simply forgot my zoom lens, my macro wish lens. It's not a real macro lens. It just has a macro mode. And I wanted to take a photo of something, I don't know, I forgot what it was. And I thought, okay, let's just try it, right? And it works. So playing around with that, taking a look at all the different features that our lenses provide, will sometimes give you quite some surprises. And now, tech terms and techniques. Photography from A to Z. Today, S, like sweet spot. Oh yes, there is indeed something called the sweet spot of every lens. What is it? It is the combination of focal length and aperture that will give you the crispest and clearest and sharpest picture. So how to find out the sweet spot of your lens? Well, the simplest and easiest way is to Google it. Type in the name of your lens and sweet spot, and you will surely get a couple of numbers that you can try. Why try? Why not say, hey, that's the sweet spot? Very simple, because each and every lens is different. Even the same model of the same brand will probably have a slightly different sweet spot. So these numbers that you find via Google are good ways to start your own experiments. And that's what you really should do. Of course, we don't always want to use the sweet spot, because sometimes, well, we need a certain aperture or we need a certain focal length. But in some cases, well, we just want that last bit of sharpness and crispness, right?
The sweet spot is usually around the mid-range apertures, so around f8 or f11, but they will be different for each and every focal length. So how to find it out? The easiest way is to put your camera on a tripod and take a shot of each different aperture with each focal length that you want to use. Then look at your photos on your computer at 100%. Look at the fine details around the edges of the shot. And the sweet spot will be the exact aperture for that focal length where the edge details are at their best. Very, very simple. Well, 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 that was it for the second episode of the TVOOM podcast. My name's Pete, I like pictures, and if you only had about half the fun that I had while producing this episode, then I achieved my goal, right? You can find my photos, of course, on my blog, tvoom.tumblr.com, tvoom.tumblr.com. Mostly landscape photography there, simply because I like trees, right? And I also do a couple of different types of photography as well. You can find that on my other photography blog, tvoom365.tumblr.com. So, yeah, one word, well, word and numbers, tvoom365.tumblr.com. And you can also find me on YouTube, of course, youtube.com/C for channel/TVOOM Photography, one word, TVOOM Photography. If you have any kind of question or suggestion or remark, please don't hesitate to contact me either on directly on Podomatic, so tvoom.podomatic.com. You can comment on each and every episode. You can message me on my blog, tvoom.tumblr.com, and you can also, of course, message me on Twitter. That is Vortex of Our Mind. That is my Twitter handle, and of course, all the links are in the description of this episode as well. And if you look closely, you will find an About Me section on my blog, and you can even find my email address there. So this one's for today. Bye bye. Till next time.